Jack and Cassette Ministries welcomes you to another hour of delightful learning with noted author, lecturer, and physician, Dr. Agatha Thrash. Her topic is therapeutic uses of charcoal in digestive upsets, stings, etc.
Now, to just go through these things rather quickly, some things that you can have in your chest, your treatment chest, is something like an ice bag. This is good for a headache in some people, but in some people, an ice bag is the very last thing you want to put on their heads because it gives them a headache. So you have to know the individual, and if they tell you that they get a headache from cold, believe them. They may know something that you don't know. Then here is this syringe. This is a large syringe, holds about 8 or 10 ounces. You can get syringes that hold 4 ounces and 2 ounces, and these are good for various things. A 2-ounce syringe is good for irrigating a baby's eye. But I find that what is called an ear syringe or an infant syringe, which holds about 4 ounces, is the best all-round irrigating syringe. So if you only buy one, get that one. You can purchase it from a pharmacy, usually for around $5. It can be used to irrigate the ear. Now, you can learn how to irrigate the ear. What you do is to fill your syringe with an irrigating fluid at body temperature. The kinds of irrigating fluids that you can use are such things as charcoal water. That's a tablespoonful of charcoal in an 8-ounce glass of water. You may also use plain water to irrigate the ear. You may use saline to irrigate the nose. Any place where you would get some stinging with plain water, you may use saline. Now, here's the way to make saline. 1 level teaspoonful of water to 1 level cup full of, 1 level teaspoonful of salt to 1 level pint of water. Now, again, that's 1 level teaspoon of salt to 1 level pint of water, and that will give you about the same consistency as tears, which is what you want. Now, if you are using that to irrigate the nose for a cold, what you do is to fill it up with a saline, then bend over a sink and tilt the head just a little bit, insert the nozzle into the nose, and squeeze the warm saline, the hot saline, into the nose. Now, that you use hot saline for a nasal irrigation if you want to stop a cold. After you have irrigated one side really well, then irrigate the other. Now, you insert the irrigating fluid in one nostril, so you bend over the sink so that it returns from the other nostril. Now, the Japanese have done some very good research showing that heating the nasal mucous membranes will assist in reducing the likelihood that you take a cold. So if you think you're going to come down with a cold, do a simple irrigation. Go ahead and learn how to do it. It's so simple that once you've done it the first time, you won't hesitate to do it anymore. It's just old hat by that time. You just pull down your syringe and do nasal irrigation. You can have the whole thing done. It takes 10 minutes to do the irrigation, but you can have the whole thing done then in 12 minutes. 2 minutes to assemble and return your equipment and 10 minutes to do the irrigation. Question?
You should measure the water?
No, just it's the length of time that you want. So you just keep on irrigating until 10 minutes have gone by. It's a 10-minute irrigation.
How hot the water is?
Yes, it's just by feel.
Oh.
Hot as you can stand it is what you want. That's how hot to make it. Yes. It's wonderful for the sinus, for sinusitis. Hot saline nasal irrigations, that's the treatment of choice for chronic sinusitis, so far as treating the sinusitis. Now, to prevent the sinusitis, then you go into an elimination diet. And that's the subject, I think, of our next lecture. Question?
Yeah. Well, where can you buy a large one like that? I've looked in pharmacies.
Keep on looking. They somewhere you'll find one.
Did you ask the druggist?
Yes, I just kept on asking until I found one.
Hospital supplies,
you ought to be able to find one there. Now, here is something that I would like to show you, and do you mind being my model? If you would step forward here and let me just show you how to put on a heating compress. You will find heating compresses in our book, Home Remedies, for many different areas. These are quite useful for many different areas. Frankly, I find them less useful in sore throats than in many other places, but it has been classically, the heating compress has been classically used in sore throats, but I find a number of other things very useful for sore throats, including a dry compress. Now, for the sore throat, no matter where you are, you will be able to find something that you can just put around your throat. Put it up high, put, and just keep on wrapping until it's, you should make it loose enough that you cannot feel your pulse beating up in your head. You want to be certain of that. And then make it come right up under the ears, and you want it so that it's, that the, your skin under the compress is warmer than it would be if you didn't have the compress there. And often the throat gets quite chilled during the night, so this is to wear at night. And this is what you should do. Take a piece of cloth about like this and dip it in ice water. And here is our pan. Dip it in ice water. Squeeze it out so that it still crackles, but it has no fluid in it at all. Then straighten it out and smooth it on the throat just like this. And of course, it will go on quite smoothly when they do not have clothing on. And then the next thing that you do is to put a plastic, which you can cut from anything, like a bread bag, just like this, and put that plastic around it. The plastic must be bigger than the compress. It has to be wider by, maybe half an inch on each side. It doesn't hurt if it's an inch on each side. And by the way, a very good compress is to use nothing but the plastic and the scarf over it. Now, once you've put the wet, cold piece on and the plastic on around that, by that time, the cold piece is already getting warm. Then you put a scarf on, and it can be any kind of scarf. It can be something cut from a piece of wool flannel or synthetic material. But whatever it is, you just wrap that on and make certain that there is no wicking whatsoever between the cold compress that you put on and the outside air, because the objective is to keep it from evaporating, and that's why you put the plastic piece on. You don't want one molecule to be out of that cold, wet piece the next morning when you take it off. One molecule of water. You want it all to be right there still. So make it so that it will not evaporate. Now, during the night, if we were to check the temperature, if we had a thermocouple put there, we would find that the temperature of the skin goes up and down during the night. Now, once it starts, it is somewhat like bouncing a ball. You put it on cold. The body reacts against it, makes it hot. Then it gets cool again and hotter again and cooler and hotter and cooler and hotter. And this happens all through the night. Now, whatever you do to the skin, you can reflexively do the same thing to the tissues and organs beneath the skin in that location. So what you're doing here is to pump the blood all night long in this way. The physiology of the heating compress has been worked out in hydrotherapy and physical therapy many times, and it's a very nice thing.
No.
Not quite yet. Okay, now here is another one. Now, this is a very nice little remedy, and I'm sorry I don't have the whole of this piece, but here is something that you can do a heating compress to the throat using a sock. But what I wanted to show you was a heating compress to the feet. But I only said I want to do the heating compress with the socks. And so my assistant thought that I was going to do one to the throat, but which you can do. It's very effective if you use a wool sock to the throat. But what I want to tell you about is how to treat a headache or the sinusitis or a cold or a stuffy nose at night. And what you do is to wet a sock like this in cold water two socks, wet two socks, squeeze them out of cold water. Put one sock on cold sock on each foot, up something like that. Now this is wet and cold. Then the next thing that you do is to use a bread bag. So here is a bread bag, and you put that over the sock, fully over the sock. And then you take a dry sock, bigger than the first, and put the dry sock over that so that it comes up above the wet sock and the bread bag. And then you tape that in place and leave it on overnight on both feet. Now, it's good for stuffy noses in newborn and small infants. It's also very good for teenagers who have headaches or who have colds. And it's a very nice little remedy, and I know that you will enjoy it. If you go to bed with a cold and a stuffy nose that you cannot handle, then put this on your feet and see if it doesn't help you to be able to sleep. Yes, you put the socks, put the dry socks over the bread bag. All right, now here is a heating compress is always cold, wet piece, plastic piece, and some kind of cover to hold the heat in and hold the compress in place. Now, those are the three principles. Very simple. Now, what are we going to do with this T-shirt? All you do with that is do what? You dip it in cold water and squeeze it out, and then put this on over her head. Put the T-shirt on over her head. Now, we're not going to do that. We will just hold it up here like that. Would you hold that in place? Now, the next thing that what goes on second? Take a garbage bag, since this has to go over the head. Take a garbage bag and just cut out a place for the head and cut out a place for the arms on the sides. Put this on over the head. And then that looks like this. Then the next thing that you do, what goes on next? A dry piece. And so here is a turtleneck snug-fitting sweatshirt. So that goes on next, just like that. Now, what do you suppose we would use a heating compress to the chest for? For a chest cold with a cough. And I have seen patients stop coughing who have had a chronic cough, a ticklish, unpleasant, irritating cough that has troubled them for two or three days. I have seen them stop coughing while you are applying the compress. It's sometimes very effective. Always the first one that goes on is wet and cold. All right, now, one more thing. Yes. Oh, yes, very good for the pleurisy. Now, we have a whole section on heating compresses in our book, Home Remedies, and so you want to be very sure to get that one. All right, now, here is something else that you use for a stuffy nose, and that's just an ordinary shop lamp just like this one. This shop lamp costs under $10 at a hardware store. If you have a stuffy nose or the hay fever, then you go to bed and you can hold it yourself right in front of your face, just about an inch or two away from the nose. And if it has a guard over it, something like hardware cloth or a screen of some kind, then if you should go to sleep, and it is quite relaxing, if you go to sleep and it falls down against your nose, the bulb won't burn you. But you should use less than 100 watt or less in the bulb, so that if you should go to sleep and it falls down, it won't scorch your skin before you become awake and aware of it. So that's a nice little remedy. Thank you so much. Now, sometimes if you don't want to go to all the trouble of the T-shirt and all of that, you can use an ordinary washcloth and put that on the chest, and then a bread bag opened out can make a very nice heating compress to the chest. By the way, I didn't tell you how to do an ear irrigation, and I want to do that. Take some water at body temperature. Just plain water is fine. You may also, if you're dealing with a fungus, you may want to use alcohol and vinegar, half and half, for the irrigation. Alcohol and vinegar can be used by merely filling up the ear canal with the alcohol and vinegar. Then, when it is full, just tilt the head over and shake the ear lobe a bit to get out all of the alcohol and vinegar that you can. Now, that's a half and half solution of alcohol and vinegar. This is for a fungus. It may be warmed up, but you're using such a small amount for such a short while that it's not really unpleasant if you use it just at room temperature. Dry the canal with your little finger with a towel or a facial tissue to get all of the excess fluid that you can, and then let it dry.
Just about a half minute
is all, then just drain it out. Just want to get it in and then have it come out. Now, when people go swimming who are accustomed to getting swimmer's ear, fill the ear with plain alcohol, just rubbing alcohol. Do the same thing. Let them bend over after you have filled the ear canal. Get out, let it all drain out, and then shake the ear lobe, dry it with your finger, and then it should dry completely, much better than it will if you don't do that. I've seen the it goes in and then comes right back out. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to stay in. Your purpose for that is drying. Now, your purpose for using the alcohol and vinegar is just to change the pH on the inside of the ear, so it also goes in and comes out. Goes in and comes out. They're just a one time. You can do that once a day for a fungus ear. And I have seen ears that have been treated with all manner of things that would not touch it, but when we treated it in this way, they were cleared up in 2 or 3 weeks. Yes?
Wouldn't that tend to dry out the ear?
The question is, would it not tend to dry out the ear? That's the purpose of it.
Reduce all the wax?
Your wax will just come right back. Uh-huh. Yeah, but the purpose is to make it dry so far as moisture is concerned.
Is there any method that you can use to remove wax?
The question is, can you use any method to remove wax? And that's what the irrigation is, and that's next. Thank you for that. Take the water at body temperature, fill up your irrigating syringe, take the earlobe, and you can do this yourself, and put and tilt the syringe toward one wall. It doesn't matter which one, back wall, top wall, front wall, bottom wall, it doesn't matter which one, but just do not put the do not do this kind of thing. Don't plug up the ear and then insert the, because we would have no way to let the fluid escape. So what you want to do is just direct the irrigating fluid against one of the canal walls. We have the directions for that in our book, Home Remedies. Question?
Yeah, I did once, but it's like trying to wash my ear and stuff. Then I pushed the wax further, yes, then I had to go to the doctor.
Yes. Yes, if you've got impacted wax, you may have to go to the doctor first, but you can always try it yourself and see if you can do something yourself with it. And if you keep working with it nicely, you can do just as well as he can, because all he's going to do is exactly what I just now told you. But patients often, because they're unfamiliar with the anatomy there, they may lose heart much faster than the ENT man will. He is accustomed to just being persistent and keeping right on with it until he gets it out. Now, you can soften the wax yourself by putting one or two drops of water into the ear, or warmed olive oil for 2 or 3 days or even a week or so before you undergo the irrigation procedure. And your ENT man may send you back home to do that very procedure. He may give you a Ceruminex, which costs a great deal from the drugstore, and nobody's entirely certain about its safety yet, to soften the earwax. So I recommend that if you're willing to be persistent with it yourself, that you go ahead and do it yourself. If you have a good assistant, you can do as well at home as he can do. He's just going to have his nurse to do the same thing that I just told you to do. If you'll read what we have in our book, Home Remedies, it should help you to dislodge any earwax that you have. Many people are deaf because of earwax. If somebody has gone deaf in your family, try this irrigation procedure and see if you can't get the wax out.
Yeah, that just seems something new and I never saw before.
Yes, I've heard of that and seen it done, and I don't recommend it. I value my hair a good bit and would think that it would be better for you not to do that. Yes.
In regard to the swimmer's ear remedy, do you use that before you swim or after?
All right. The question is, the swimmer's ear, you do it after, for what you do, you do the little alcohol routine after you've been swimming. And for the sake of the tape, that last question was about the putting a wick inside the ear and lighting it. I don't recommend that that be done. Now, if you've been sick with a flu and you get up one morning, you're well of the flu, but you don't feel really perky. In fact, you're pretty sure that you're going to feel miserable all day. You feel weak and wobbly. Then what you should do is this. When you get up, take a shower. But before you take a shower, take a brush of some kind. It can be a little scrubby that you use down in the kitchen like this. Or it can be a heavy scrub brush that you scrub floors with like this. Or it can be a little vegetable brush of this nature. Whatever you want to use, just take that, and then with circular motions or long stroking motions, give yourself a dry brush massage before you get into a cool shower. Not hot, not cold, but cool shower. And then at the end of the shower, give yourself a brisk rub down with a coarse towel. Just taking the coarse towel and going through a very brisk rubbing motion. Some people like to make for themselves friction mitts, like this friction mitt. It was made from the end of an old towel that had seen its usefulness, but still had some parts of it that were good. So just take those parts, sew them up on three sides, and you have a mitt. These can be dropped into cold water, squeezed out, applied on the hands, and then you can do this kind of thing. Flip them over, and they flip over very nicely when they're wet. And you can just give yourself a nice friction mitten, cold friction rub with this kind of equipment. Now, the next thing is that of the fomentation. If you wish to, you can make for yourself some nice fomentation cloths. If you get some laundry flannel, that's probably best, but any kind of heavy cotton will do. You can even use terry cloth. And we have used a combination of cotton flannel and terry cloth and just made about 8 thicknesses of it and then just put a few nicely placed quilted tabs so that the interior of it won't move. And all you need is about 4. Somebody really gilded the lily with this one and made it look real cute, but you don't have to do all that. You don't have to go to all that work. Now, if you have a sewing machine, you can sew it around the edges and finish them off just as this one has been finished off to make a pack. But this is not necessary. And you can immediately see that all this labor is nice but is not essential. You can take a large beach towel or a large bath towel and use it for a fomentation cloth. Now, let's say you're using towels. Then fold the towel so that it is about 12 inches by 30 inches as this pack is. Then that's going to be the size you want it. Then loosely roll that into a cylinder and put that into a canner, which you can buy at a hardware. Now, that's different from this this bucket that I have here, but I need to just give you an illustration of what we do. Now, a canner comes with a wire rack. So you fold down the ears of that wire rack, put that in the bottom, and then stack the cylinders of the packs that you're going to have, the folded towels. Pack those four around. Now, one thing I forgot to tell you, you start out with these slightly moistened. So those of you who remember how we sprinkle clothes, how we used to sprinkle clothes when they were starched, you just got a little water and sprinkled them like that. Well, just do that so that you get it quite moist, but nothing like soggy. And just do that on both sides, then roll it up loosely and put those in the canner and put the top on. Now the false bottom with a wire rack down there. Water is in that. You heat that up, and you have a steam kettle. Now if you have a microwave oven, you can roll these up, put them in your microwave, and heat them up in the microwave. But it's very easy to do it this way. Within 30 minutes, you have your packs completely hot. Now, for somebody who has a serious chest condition that you're going to have to be treating for a long time, you may want to go to all the trouble to do this kind of to get this kind of equipment. Here is a piece of an old blanket. This can be either an army wool blanket, or if you don't have access to a wool blanket, then you can just get a synthetic. It works just as well. Wool often gives off an odor when it gets wet, so frankly, I prefer the synthetic over the wool, and it is cheaper these days. So when the pack is hot, you lift it out with kitchen tongs, and then you just put it like that on the piece of synthetic. Fold that over like that, and here you have what you're going to put on the chest, on the abdomen, for if we're treating the appendicitis we were talking about this morning, or on the back, or if you have a case of phlebitis, you will be putting it on a leg, and this is the side that you want to go to it. But since you'll have to take this from the kitchen down to the bedroom, then you'll want to fold it like this and hold it so that you'll lose as little of the heat as possible, and take that down to the bedroom. Then you put some towels down on the affected place where you're going to put the pack, and then place the pack on it. These are changed about every 6 minutes. That is, as often as they get cool, you go ahead and put the packs, put a new pack on. And between packs, something very nice that you can do is to take an ordinary washcloth and dip that in cold water and squeeze it out and scrub the area that you have treated. That makes a very nice hydrotherapeutic treatment. Now, what I have just told you is the mainstay of all hydrotherapeutic measures for treating serious illnesses. So if you want to use the fomentation, the method that I have just told you is the basic method of doing fomentations. You will find the step-by-step detailed procedure in our book, Home Remedies. They are very good remedies. We find them as effective in treating serious infections as we ever found antibiotics to be. They're quick, as quick as antibiotics. They get a slow start, so you must be persistent at first. But once you have gotten over that initial period of slowness, then you are far out ahead, because then you do not have to wait for the person to recover from the effects of the antibiotics. And better than all of that, you have not endangered your patient to an increased risk of cancer, increased risk of gastrointestinal problems, kidney failure, and on and on and on and on. Yeast-related diseases, a lot of things that antibiotics now expose people to. Now, a number of you have questions. Would you raise your hands right now? I'll give you numbers, and then I must go on to the next topic as our time is running out. let me just give you numbers. Number one, in the back, number two, right here, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven. Is that all? Okay, we'll take only these seven questions on these topics. Number one. Oh, yes. Yes, it's very good for a swollen gum, but better than that for a swollen gum is a charcoal compress, and we recommend that for a painful tooth. I've seen the toothache much helped by a charcoal compress, but gum diseases are the treatment of choice is hot mouth washes, the use of a soft bristle toothbrush and dental floss, and charcoal in the mouth.
This is the end of Side 1. Please turn over the cassette now for the continuation of the message entitled Therapeutic Uses for Charcoal in Digestive Upsets, Stings, etc.
An ear infection such as otitis media, you treat the throat to treat the ear in otitis media. You also put heating compresses to the ear, put hot treatments to the ear, such as the light treatment that we said for the nose. The light treatment for the ear is very good. In fact, you will often find that even a small infant who has an earache, who cannot reason, if you put them up to your shoulder and you take the heat lamp and put that to the affected ear, they may fuss a little bit while they're getting accustomed to it. But as soon as the heat begins to get to it, they can tell that the pain is going away. Then you can lay them in their crib, and they will snuggle right up to the heat lamp because they recognize that they are much more comfortable with the when the lamp is in place. If you're dealing with something like the glue ear, you should know the cause of glue ear. Glue ear is the commonest chronic affliction of ears in children today, and for that the tubes are often put in. But I say, why put the tubes in? The doctor is making a puncture through the eardrum. We do not know yet whether the eardrum has to be punctured, but the body will know whether the eardrum has to be punctured. So just let the body puncture it itself if it has to be punctured, and then it will heal it exactly in the same way that it will heal if the doctor puts the tubes in. An occasional case that you treat may rupture the eardrum, and it may drain for a few days. But then it just heals all on its own. And there is no reduction in hearing, or very little, if any, no more and maybe less than with the tubes put in. So I'm against putting in tubes for children. The reason that children get glue ear is because of two things, and this is proven: antibiotics and antihistamines. These are not my opinions. These are published reasons why children get the glue ear. So if we will stay away from the antibiotics and the antihistamines in the first place, keep our children well hydrated when they get the earache, treat them on the outside with heat, with hot gargles internally, with charcoal held in the mouth, and a lot of other ways that you can apply heat besides water or a heat lamp. We tell in the book about parking a car in the sun and let the child sit with the ear that's affected next to the window where the sun is coming in. Many good ways for a child to apply heat to the ear that the child will receive quite nicely. Tilt the bed up at about a 30 to 45 degree angle, which makes the Eustachian tube be just about straight down when they're lying on the back, which encourages drainage of the middle ear through the Eustachian tube. Question number three. Question number four. Okay, the way to get rid of a kidney stone. We talk about kidney stones in our book, Home Remedies. Maybe you ought to read that whole section. It is with hot packs. And just keep on applying the hot packs. The hottest packs that we use for the longest period of time that we use them is in kidney stones. Drink lots of water and avoid those things that are causing the kidney stones. Question number four. Three. Yes. I'm going to talk a little bit more about fevers after a while. So if you'll hold that question until afterward, we'll be talking about that in the other auditorium. Question number five.
I'm insect bite.
Uh-huh.
I have an insect that literally, when she stepped on a bee and had a rush.
All right. I talked about one form of bee stings yesterday. I'm going to talk about bee stings in just a few minutes. Okay. Question number six. No, I hadn't planned to talk on nosebleeds. Let me just say a few words about nosebleeds. We have a, let's see, is it in this book? I think that it's in Home Remedies that we have a good section on nosebleed. And we have a section on nosebleed coming up in our next book. And we have a little section on nosebleed in our book, More Natural Remedies, which we don't have any, of which we don't have any with us. But you can learn how to treat the chronic nosebleed by checking that book. But here are some things. Number one is 90% of nosebleeds arise from a little ulcer in reach of the finger. Do not use a dry tissue to cleanse the nose because it does make little ulcers right in the nose, which do tend to be the source of persistent nosebleeds. So that's number one. Never use a dry tissue. Number two, when you have a nosebleed, put as hot a compress as the person can tolerate right over the nose. And that must be at least 112 degrees. And 115 would be better. Acclimatize them to the heat by a little hot washcloth before you put the hotter compress on. But it has to be very hot. Another thing to do is to put pressure right up under the nose with the finger. Another thing is to put a penny up under the upper lip. Now, I know you'll laugh at that one, but why it works, we don't know. But the ENT men do know that it does work, and exactly why, we don't know. Some pressure and cold to the back, to the nape of the neck, will also help the nose bleed. And a number of other things that we mentioned. Question number seven.
A lady who's had about 4 years with a very close vein. Right knee is a lot like the ulcer down to the toe.
Yes.
On the side.
Okay. Very good question. I love to treat varicose veins, ulcers. Not because the ulcer is nice to work with, but because you can give so much relief to these poor people who have been suffering for months or years or decades with poor ulcers on their legs and they big swollen legs. But I don't have time to tell you the whole story. Let me just say, get an Una boot. An Una boot. Yes, an Una boot. U-N-N-A. Now, it's a little work to put it on. That's why I wish I had time to tell you about it. But it is a rigid bandage. It comes off. If it's a very bad ulcerated leg, it comes off every 3 days. Otherwise, every 5 days until the ulcer is well. And I've seen ulcers that have just persisted for decades that with a persistent, constant care and this rigid bandage will do well. Now they mark it. Now this the Una bandage that I've just told you, or the Una boot, you have to put on yourself. You rub it on. You paint on the gelatin and the zinc oxide and so forth, and it makes a rigid bandage. After you've finished with it, you put that on yourself. But now all the labor is taken out of it. You can get a nice expensive pack like this and just put the rigid bandage on. It dries, and that's all there is to it. So you can get that if you want to. I think it is the Dome or the Burroughs. Burroughs company that produces that. All right, now my next topic is that of charcoal, and I just have time to finish that up. Maybe I will yet tell you about the hot foot bath, so I won't remove that yet, so that if I get a chance to, I will tell you about that. All right, here is charcoal. We have a long section in our book, Home Remedies, on charcoal. do read that. You'll find some very informative material, and you just should not be without an understanding of charcoal. Charcoal can be used for a wide variety of different things, such as its use in bee stings. We really appreciate this for bee stings. We tell everybody who goes in an area where they may be they may have some kind of exposure to bee stings, by all means take charcoal with you. If you go into snake infested areas, take charcoal with you. It is the best first line of defense in snake bites. Wet some charcoal in water, make yourself a little compress, put that on, and it's the very best remedy for the snake bite for first aid. Then go as soon as you can for the antivenin. But the chances are you may not have to use it. If the pain and the swelling subside with the application of the charcoal, then you have had already an effective treatment. We have seen three individuals treated with, we have not ourselves treated them, but we have seen them treated for snake bite with charcoal. With bee stings, and yellow jacket and wasp stings, we've seen any number of these treated. Fire ant bites can be treated with charcoal compresses, or if there are multiple bites, if you have a whirlpool, take some charcoal, put that in, just dump it into the whirlpool, turn the whirlpool on and mix it up, and it makes the solution for you. But if you don't have a whirlpool, then you'll want to take a large container and put a cup full of charcoal in that and make a paste with water, such as this paste that we have here, and then stir that into a bathtub full of water and put the person who has had multiple stings or insect bites, put them in the bath water and let them have a charcoal bath. And that's a very good treatment for a person who has had a number of venomous bites. We had a patient who had a brown recluse spider bite. She was a nurse and knew that the only treatment for the brown recluse spider bite was that of surgical excision, wide surgical excision. The brown recluse spider venom just takes all tissue off with it. It sloughs off muscle and skin and subcutaneous tissue and blood vessels and nerves and everything, just right down to the bone in a cone-shaped lesion. And that requires months to heal, and it sometimes leaves an ugly, very deep ulcer that scars in and makes a very bad-looking scar. This nurse who had been bitten by the brown recluse spider, we suggested to her that she put a poultice on of charcoal and change it every 10 minutes. This she did all through the day, a change of the poultice every 10 minutes or every 30 minutes all through the day. And then during the night, she got up every 2 hours and changed the poultice during the night, every 2 hours. The next day, she had a small blister in the area where she had had the bite, but nothing that looked really bad. By the end of 5 days, she had nothing at all except a little pink spot where the brown recluse spider had bitten her. We had one man who did not change his compress so frequently. He changed it only every 8 hours, and he did get a superficial slough. But it healed after about 3 or 4 weeks, but certainly not as nicely as the lady who changed hers every half an hour. Now, the internal use of charcoal is just as important as the external use. It can be used for nausea and vomiting and for diarrhea. In fact, the treatment of choice for nausea and vomiting and diarrhea is that of charcoal. The dosage is full adult dosage every time the person vomits or every time they have a loose stool. So if they vomit, then you give them the full adult dose, which for most of us would be one rounded tablespoonful. We might even take 2 or 3 rounded tablespoonfuls. You should remember that you cannot overdose on charcoal. It's a very innocuous material. It may give some people a little irritation of the stomach, and some people may have a little constipation with it, but if you drink plenty of water, it's unlikely to give you any symptom at all. So take whatever is needed to stop the nausea and vomiting and to stop the diarrhea. If you vomit even immediately after you've taken the charcoal, well, even so, you should go right ahead and take another full dose. The turista can be stopped in its tracks with charcoal often. You should never travel without taking charcoal with you. You can take tablets or capsules, or the most versatile kind of charcoal to take with you is a little jar of powdered charcoal. If you have a sore throat, it may be taken for that. Just take a little bit on a spoon, introduce it very carefully onto the tongue. Be very careful that there is no movement of air, because a movement of air will just make a cloud of charcoal all over everything to your great discomfiture and embarrassment. You can use the charcoal stirred in a little water and just take that with a spoon, and it's very good to soothe a sore throat. It also takes up viruses and bacterial toxins, which will help your sore throat to heal. Now, here is how to make a compress. By the way, if you want to make up some to take internally, you just moisten it a little, and then you dilute that down to a cupful, and that will make a nice drink for you. It doesn't taste bad. It just has a bad texture in the mouth. And once you get accustomed to that texture, you will even appreciate that texture. It will not bother you at all. Now, here is the paste that you make up. Take a piece of paper towel like this, big enough for what you want to treat. So this is just big enough for a small bee sting. Then you spread some out on the paper towel. Fold one layer of the paper toweling over that. And you have a charcoal compress. And that goes on the bee sting like that. And then over that you put a piece of plastic. And then take an ACE bandage and put that around it, and to hold it in place, and you have a very nice compress that will take care of a lot of things. Some people like to put flaxseed in their charcoal compresses, but personally, I prefer just the plain charcoal, nothing else. The way that charcoal works is by adsorption. That's different from absorption, but just very briefly, it is this, that when wood or bone burns, the soft parts burn first. That would be the protein parts, the sugar parts, the starch parts, the fat parts, the resins, and so forth. These all burn off first. That leaves a hard structure there, which chars and will eventually ash, but at first, in the burning process, it chars, and then it leaves something that has many pits and crevices in it like this. Because of the very hot temperatures that develop during the burning process, there is an alteration in the electrical charge on the charcoal so that it attracts things that are poisonous to our bodies. And it attracts most poisons from the body and produced by the body into these crevices. It will generally take up 80 times or more its own weight in poisonous material. It also attracts by capillary attraction as well. And that's how charcoal works. It does work across skin lines. All right, question is, what kind of wood to use? You may use any kind of wood, and yes, you may make your own charcoal. We had one lady who took 12 little girls camping for 4 days. They were going to be gone. It was one of these sort of survivaling tours. The very first night, they all 13 came down with a bad case of the turista, maybe from some kind of spoiled food that they had. So the camp counselor decided that she was going to try some charcoal. She just took a piece of wood out of the campfire, rinsed it off, and chewed it. And within 30 minutes, she was feeling much better. So she continued to treat herself that way and gave charcoal, gave the same kinds of charcoal to everybody else who would take it. Only 6 of the little girls were willing to chew the charred wood. All 6 of those who tried it got well. The 6 who did not try it went home 4 days later, still not feeling well with their diarrhea. Question number 2. There is no particular kind of wood. You may use any kind. Probably the best kind would be charred coconut shells. Next to that might be charred eucalyptus wood, but we use any kind. Question number 3. All right, a question about sty on the eyelid. I would put this very thing here on at night. But in the daytime, I would use a hot and cold compress. So you take two small towels or heavy washcloths, put one in hot water and the other in cold. Take the hot one out, put that on the sty. Let it stay for 6 minutes. Now, you'll have to replenish that 3 times. So every 2 minutes, you'll have to get a fresh one. So I'd start out with 3 washcloths, or 2 at least, so that you drop one in and the other one's already hot with the water and put that in. Same thing with the cold, if you wish, except that you usually won't need but one. Squeeze that out of the cold water. Put that on for 30 seconds. So you can put it on. Then after a few seconds, turn it the other way. Drop that back in. Pick up the hot and put that on. Change it as often as you need to keep it as hot as you can stand it. Keep treating that for 20 to 30 minutes, and that's the best treatment for a sty. Hot and cold in the daytime, charcoal compress at night. And drink plenty of water, because one of the reasons why we get styes is because of dehydration, and those tiny little structures that make the secretions go out to the outside cannot deliver the secretion to the outside. Class is dismissed, and thank you very much.
You've been listening to Dr. Agatha Thrash speaking at the 1985 Michigan Organic State Fair Harvest Festival. International copyright, 1985 American Cassette Ministries. All rights reserved. This cassette is protected by international copyright laws and thus protected against all copying, duplication, and transcriptions. Please understand, it is illegal to copy this cassette. For additional copies of this cassette, as well as our latest gift catalog, please write to American Cassette Ministries. Our address is Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Our postal zip code is 17108 in the United States of America. Waiting to serve you, this is American Cassette Ministries. We're a nonprofit corporation helping prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ.